I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to It's Your Agribusiness. Today, we have South Dakota Farmers Union, the second Tuesday of the month, every month, and you can listen live or later on, you can go to the podcast on South Dakota Farmers Union website and our Kettle AM website, but we better make it official. Welcome to the South Dakota Farmers Union Ag Business Report. South Dakota Farmers Union, uniting farmers, ranchers, and rural communities to strengthen South Dakota Farmers Union. Doug Somke, president, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, and you?
I am just wonderful. We had a nice big weekend here. Got some nice rain all day yesterday, and it's cooled down. I like this cool weather, man. I'm loving this.
Would you like the snow that they're having out west?
I'm allergic to snow, Bill.
Really? I'll have to remember that in the winter months. You know, it's been an interesting time, and we've got some interesting people in the show. We're going to talk with Candy Briley shortly. Ethanol, tell us a little bit about who we're going to be visiting with.
Yeah, we're going to be visiting with Jeff Cooper from the Renewable Fuels Association, and then Ann Steckel, who's our renewable fuels and ethanol E30 especially specialist at National Farmers Union. They're going to be talking to us about a couple of things. First of all, one about how ethanol has really gained a place here in agriculture and been a leader for economy, but also about how it's helping in the inner city clean up the air and what the possibilities of having higher ethanol help in that regard as well.
Do you think any of your members are hunters?
Oh, absolutely. I guarantee you probably 90% of them are.
Tom Kirschenman is going to be joining us, and they've had some changes as far as the pheasant hunting. They're trying to get more people out. The dates are all the same, even entice some duck hunters. That'll be an interesting segment.
Yeah, it should be. You know, the committee, I've had several conversations with the committee members on not only this topic, but some others that they're exploring. And I will give them a lot of kudos because they are reaching out and talking to us about what can or what should be considered going forward. Some of their ideas, you know, kind of what I would say outside the box, and that's not a bad thing.
And a lady that travels around the state, might be Mobridge, might be Sioux Falls. Today she's in Rapid City, Jamie Wood, SBA.
Yeah, always looking forward to hearing Jamie's voice and sharing with us and what it looks like coming into the weather-wise. You know, it's kind of funny how we started out really, really wet, wasn't it? Then all of a sudden, here we are. We're kind of in a dry cycle.
We'll get that story. And then a story that was added, a nice story about Joyce Heath out of Winter.
Yeah, you know, we got all kinds of good people like Joyce around. And I'll tell you, the real Dakota Pride Award, I really missed that, being able to meet those people in person this year, but hopefully next year. And we got so many good people like that in the Dakotas, we should make sure we celebrate them any chance we get.
And the state climatologist, we have to let her know, put in an order that you're allergic to snow.
Yeah. I got a feeling that Laura feels the same way about snow as I do. And really, it's not the snow that I'm allergic to. It's the work of moving it, Bill, that I'm allergic to.
All right, that's the stage. And again, we do have a little music, which kind of tells me where we're going now.
Our state fair is a great state fair. Don't miss it. Don't even be late.
Boom, boom, boom. By the way, Doug, Candy likes me to do the boom, boom, boom. Makes her feel like the song is really on track. Candy?
Yes, I do.
I heard the word therapeutic. Is that what the fair was?
Yeah, you know, our commissioners and people that were giving rides to people around the fairgrounds and just visiting with people, you know, especially in the livestock barns, the farmers and ranchers and stuff, you know, they all commented how much they were enjoying the fair and that they needed it. It was a good time, you know, just come out, enjoy your friends and family and just kind of forget about things So it was a good break for everyone, I think.
All right. Got to ask this question because there are a lot of people like me and like Doug and a few that are going to say, how clean was it and were we safe?
Yeah, we absolutely were. You know, just to recap, we added hand washing stations, had hand sanitizer stations all over the place. We spread out seating underneath of our stages and in our seating areas at the food court and such. And people were using the hand washing stations, when you drive past them. And they were kids, people of all ages, you know. It was kind of neat to see the kids over there washing their hands and stuff and people using the hand sanitizing units that we had. So, you know, we did our best and we had signage up encouraging people to use those different things that we had around the grounds. So, I think we did our best.
Doug, South Dakota Farmers Union, oldest state agency, why was it important we find a way to have you guys included this year?
Yeah, the State Fair is just such a hallmark and such a exhibit of what we are here in South Dakota. I mean, agriculture is number one, of course, and it's a great way to show, you know, what we do. And not only for the state, as Candy said, about celebrating ourselves and relaxing, but also it's showing others around the state, around the country, you know, what we have available here and, you know, how good our product and people are. And, you know, what Candy mentioned about the use of the sanitary stations, what I've noticed is the young kids that from school practices, they're doing a good job teaching in school to make sure they use those stations, because I've seen kids walking into stores like Runnings, for instance, first thing they do is they walk up and use that station. And when they walk out, they use that station again. So, you know, the young kids are probably more apt to accept those type of practices way easier than some of us that are a little bit longer in the tooth. And, I just think that, you know, those type of things, that's what we talk about, right? I mean, it's the three W's, and that's what's going to win this war against this COVID is washing your hands, washing your distance, and wearing a mask.
One of the things, Doug, that I always kind of point to and say that you guys do that luncheon every year where what the farmers would make out of that luncheon with the menu that was served is what people are charged. You weren't able to completely do that this year.
No, we weren't. And of course, again, for safety reasons, you know, and it really is something that we miss. I mean, it's a great opportunity to not only socialize, but educate people on what farmers do. I mean, farmers work hard every day, just like everybody else, but they also aren't paid very well for their what work that they do, according to what a box of cereal costs or what a hamburger costs or a bag of chips or a jug of milk. And that keeps getting smaller and smaller, and we need to do a better job of educating people. And that's one thing that we've been noticed for is around the country is because of the farmer share. And, it's a great way for people to understand that, food isn't cheap, food isn't free. And most of the time, the people that work the hardest for it are getting paid the least.
Candy, what else was different this year, and what kind of comments did you get from those people attending the fair?
Yeah, you know, one of the big things we changed was our grandstand experience. And we had a couple free shows, the Big Air ATV Tour and then the Laser Light Show and Fireworks. That there's a ton of families that attended that, and everyone was so appreciative of having a free show. So rave reviews over that thing. You know, a lot of people commented on the cleanliness of the carnival. The carnival really stepped up their game. And this year just make, you know, they're always clean, but they did a lot better job this year to watch those things. We had to, just change some different things around. And we certainly missed Farmers Union on Saturday, but again, just extremely appreciative of Doug and the Farmers Union crew, continuing their support of the fair.
One of the things the fair does is bring a lot of farm organizations together, and it was, a great opportunity this year, and if you can't do it in 2020, when could you do it? But the other thing that happened too with Minnesota and South Dakota being the only one that had a fair, North Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa didn't. You had animals from other places as well.
We did. We certainly did. And people had a chance to visit with some of those exhibitors, and even at some of the BARD meetings, people really enjoyed our fair. And, you know, they say they're going to come back, so they very well could come back. We heard comments that, you know, even from fairgoers, on the eastern side of the United States, that they see our fair as a traditional fair. Not all fairs you'd go to where you would see a youth, you know, taking care of a sheep or a cow or something, any livestock animal at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning, and even throughout the day. So that was really noticed. So we heard a lot of comments about being a traditional agricultural fair. And, people just appreciated our fair and how it was and how it was ran.
And you guys really were very smart. You scheduled a change from summer to winter in the last day. How did you pull that off is what I don't understand. Doug, do you understand how they did that?
You know, I've seen it go the other direction that day, too, in the past. So it really is a nice change, though. I mean, the Labor Day is the holiday that we all realize that the fair, the summer is ending, and the state fair did their part to bring that temperature down for us on that last day.
I tell you what, Bill, this is the first time I've ever worn two long sleeve shirts, a sweatshirt, a vest, and a stocking hat out taking off or tearing down stuff around the fairground, so it's definitely memorable.
And there was no chance of wearing the same clothes every day, was there?
No, absolutely not. We always, the weather always threw us for a curveball. And yesterday with the rain, had even bust out the rain suit and the rain boots. And today you're partly in winter clothes. So always keeps us guessing.
The other thing I was going to mention is the media always wants to know how many people attended. Sioux Empire Fair did not share. We don't expect you to share, but the people that came, would you tell us that they were happy they did?
Oh, absolutely. People, again, they commented that they were happy to be here, happy to have a fair to attend, happy to be able to show their livestock animals and, you know, go to the vending buildings and camp and do all those sorts of things. So, yeah, they were extremely appreciative. And this whole time, we didn't know what to expect for attendance and things. But what we said is that we did know that we worked extremely hard, our fair team did, to put on a fair that was full of those fair experiences that people could come to the fair and enjoy.
I'm going to let you, Doug, have the last word. How do you want to thank Candy and the people that put the fair on?
Well, they worked so hard all year long. I know already they're developing and moving forward for the next year, and God bless them for what they do, and keep doing that hard work, Candy, because it is such a good way to exhibit to others, you know, the kindness of heart of the people in South Dakota and what we have to offer. And it is. I mean, everyone calls it the dirt fair, but you know what? I still don't think there's a better fair around. We in South Dakota should be very proud of the work you guys do, and kudos. And let's move forward to the same or better next year. Thank you.
By the way, Candy, what's the clock say for next year?
It probably says 364 days.
All right. Candy, God bless you. Thank you for all you did.
Thank you.
It was a great fair.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Why Frontier Bank? Great. Personal. Service. Checking, savings, loans, retirement. Satisfaction guaranteed. Period. Go to frontierbk.com.
It's time for you to start saving money on your wireless bill today. Hi, this is Nick from your local Sioux Falls Sprint store. For a limited time, you can get 4 lines of unlimited for only $100 a month. That's just $25 per line. Plus, we'll even throw in 4 Android phones for free. You won't find a better deal than that anywhere. We've recently partnered with T-Mobile to offer more coverage and faster speeds across much of South Dakota. Stop into either Sioux Falls Sprint store for your free quote and start saving money today. Welcome to Sprint.
The day begins. Morning colors in the east. Neighborhoods awaken. Sounds of life. A car. Walking a pet. Neighbors awake. High above a cloudless sky, or maybe a churning gray. A stiff breeze. Or still, the community begins their work. It's a work of caring, of finance, of health, of home, churches, parks, and flowing water. Breaking bread with friends and families. Trust. prayers, smiles, hope. The day ends, evening colors in the west. Neighborhoods sleep safely. Isn't it great to live in South Dakota? A poem of reality from the Tony Bachman Group, the trusted name in real estate.
Sean Hannity, weekdays 2 to 5, Kello, News Talk 1320, 107.9.
This is the South Dakota Farmers Union Show with the oldest farm organization in South Dakota. Doug, do you feel older today?
You know, I feel older every day, Bill, but you know what? I'm sure glad I'm here, and I'm glad I'm with you today. So, you know, things could be worse, but I tell you what, they're never better than when I'm with you.
Oh, you've got two great guests. Would you introduce them, please?
Yeah, we've got Ann Steckel. She's from the National Farmers Union. She's our renewable fuels and E30 expert. And then we also have Jeff Cooper. He's the executive director with the Renewable Fuels Association. And these two individuals, I'll tell you what, they carry a lot of talent. They got more knowledge in their little finger than I've got in my whole body about this industry. But what I'm really excited about is the fact that they've come together not only to educate the people, but to educate our two candidates for president on the issue of higher blends and what it offers to farmers and ranchers, but also to the world of cleaning the air for the inner cities. So these two people, I'm going to sit back and listen because I learn a lot every time I hear them.
All right, Jeff, you get to go first. Sorry, ladies first next time. Go ahead, Jeff.
Okay, well, thanks. And Doug, I appreciate that introduction. And you know, Doug's just a fantastic leader and voice for the industry as well. And we appreciate the partnership we've had with Doug and the National Farmers Union. And Doug's right. We have been working diligently with NFU and other partners to educate both campaigns about our industry and about the issues we're facing. And really, the biggest challenge is just getting their attention. There's so many other issues and things that are bombarding these campaigns. But if you can cut through that noise and that clutter and get their attention for even 5 or 10 minutes, it's really easy to sell them on the value and the benefits of renewable fuels like ethanol. And there's different parts of the story that appeal differently to Democrats and Republicans, but that's the beautiful thing about ethanol is we do have, you know, we can promote the environmental benefits with the Biden campaign and the ability to combat climate change and reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and with the Trump campaign we can really lead with the energy security benefits and the rural economic benefits associated with renewable fuels. So, you know, it's a pretty easy sell. The biggest challenge is just getting that 5 or 10 minutes of their undivided attention. And you know, fortunately, we've been able to do that here in the last couple months with both campaigns.
Ann Steckel, the fly-in scheduled later this month in D.C. My guess is there will be a lot of people that are going to have to hear a lot about ethanol.
Yes, absolutely. The National Farmers Union has our annual fly-in this year, which will be a virtual fly-in, so a little bit different, but the messaging will remain the same. And one of the key messages for the Farmers Union is really ethanol and the benefits of ethanol and moving to increase use of ethanol blends. Certainly, as we schedule our various meetings with folks on Capitol Hill, we will be talking about all of the benefits of ethanol that Doug and Jeff just talked about with all of those Hill offices. And, you know, we really see this as a great opportunity for us to cover a number of different offices on Capitol Hill, Republican and Democrat, not just the Midwest, but all across the country, to talk about the importance of renewable fuels. I don't have to tell everyone who's listening that these have been some pretty tough times for us in agriculture and the renewable fuels industry. We've gotten hit really hard with a variety of 1-2 punches, unfortunately. This administration has been very hard to work with in a sense, because we have seen the continued granting of these small refinery exemptions, the delay in the RFS volumes for next year, and so forth and so on, trade issues that we're encountering with Brazil over tariffs. And so we're very optimistic that our continued advocacy with the current administration, and if we have a different administration, will really help us out as we move forward to develop our continued policy support for renewable fuels.
Doug, let me ask you this. Wouldn't it be nice if the two different parties would come to the folks with ethanol and say, let me take care of you and actually be competing to help us, because we'd need some help?
Yeah, really, the ethanol issue, Bill, is nonpartisan. I mean, it really is not a partisan issue at all. And the other thing, it's an economic engine that is huge. I mean, it's developed itself just crazy across the country. Just in the state of South Dakota alone, for instance, annually, it's a $4 billion industry in the state of South Dakota. Now, imagine if we can go and move from E15 to E30, doubling that economic engine. And then also, at the same time, it's helping people that are having health problems with, like, asthma and such, any type of respiratory issues in the inner city. These things are, you know, it's all positive. I mean, it's, and like Jeff said, you know, this is some way we can address climate change as well for those that find that as one of their major issues. We're really working hard. I know Jeff and Ann are working very hard with the health industry and the health groups, advocacy groups, and also the environmental groups, to get them to understand, you know, our role, that we are not out to try to harm any one of their industries. Matter of fact, we're doing everything we can to help them and help the agriculture industry as well.
What do you think, Jeff?
Well, I think Doug hit the nail on the head. I think, you know, we are doing a lot of work with public health and environmental groups to educate them on the health and environmental benefits of ethanol. Doug's exactly right. Ethanol replaces the most dangerous and poisonous and toxic compounds in gasoline. You know, we talk about aromatics and some of the other hydrocarbon compounds that make gasoline just such a dangerous substance. Ethanol is replacing those and cleaning up our fuel to the point that we believe, you know, if you have a blend like E30 in a vehicle that's got high compression and can really take advantage of that high octane, you know, the emissions are significantly reduced. And we're not just talking about particulate matter and NOx and other, you know, tailpipe pollutants. We're talking about greenhouse gas emissions as well, to the point where we think that sort of vehicle and fuel system can absolutely compete and maybe outcompete the environmental performance of an electric vehicle.
And yesterday, I'm filling up with gas, rural community here in South Dakota. I pull in, the gentleman with an old pickup looks at me and he says, why are you putting ethanol in your vehicle? I said, I want to help the farmers. He said, it's not safe. What would you have told that farmer?
Oh, well, we certainly know that it is safe to put ethanol in vehicles and increase blends of ethanol in vehicles. We've done a lot of studies that have shown it and proven it to be safe. And the benefits are really more than you can even count. Jeff just did a really nice job of talking about all of the health benefits. And, you know, certainly being in rural America, you see the effects firsthand, the benefits to the farmers, the benefits to rural communities. And so, you know, it's like we've been talking about. It's a sell that when you're able to get in front of people, it's very easy to make because there are so many good attributes to it. It's really just about getting in front of all of the right people, the right elected officials, you know, working with the presidential campaign, working with the current administration, and just talking to the folks about the different benefits and then working to get all of these public policy pieces in place to continue to allow us to use higher level blends. And so I think it's a real challenge and an opportunity for us.
Sometimes old habits are hard to break, and what they've heard isn't necessarily true. And the fact that this guy was from a farm and he still didn't want to put it in meant that I've got some work to do. So do we. Ann Steckel.
Yeah.
Jeff Cooper.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We'll keep doing that, too. Doug Somke, I'll bet you do that a few times a week, too.
Absolutely, Bill.
Kello, News Talk 1320, KELO Sioux Falls, FM 107.9, KELQ Flandreau Sioux Falls, and online at Kello.com. From the Kello.com News Center, this is your Kello Agribusiness Report.
With your Ag News, I'm Farm and Ranch Director Sarah Heinrich. COVID-19 has many of you choosing to eat at home. We have some tasty pork recipe ideas coming up right after the break.
Hi, Sarah Heinrich here. My friends at the Steffes Group have the upcoming auctions. A Cavalier County Land Timed Online Auction. 320-plus cropland acres near Munich, North Dakota. Bids open Tuesday, September 8th at 8 a.m. Bids close Wednesday, September 9th at noon. The Michelle Schreier Farm Retirement Timed Online Auction in Curry, Minnesota. Bids open Thursday, September 3rd at 8 a.m. Bids close Thursday, September 10th at 1 p.m. Go to steffesgroup.com today for more information on these and other upcoming auctions. Go with Steffes. They're the best.
Agriculture uses words like way of life, feed the world, and backbone of the country. We use these words as an anthem of life spent growing or raising something. Some of the men and women that rise and eat and drink under the blanket of the very sustenance that agriculture provides do not appreciate it and question the manner in which we provide it. We would rather they just said thank you. Thank you for providing for our well-being. Agriculture is feeding the world, 200 people per farmer. If you need seed, think ProSeed.
With COVID-19, we're enjoying more meals at home with family. National Pork Board Director of Nutrition and Dietetics, Kara Belke, says that there are many benefits to this trend.
Experts continue to agree the benefits of increased family meals are definitely significant. And we see from the research that eating more meals together as a family, it improves things like family cohesion, communication, improves relationships. And, you know, one of the other things that people might not know about, it helps us prepare for uncertainty in managing difficult life moments and just coming together to celebrate simple joys, which, you know, during these times, never before have we needed more nurturing for, you know, our minds, our bodies, as well as our souls. So there's definitely many benefits.
The Pork Checkoff is collaborating with USA Pulses during the National Family Meals Month. This marketing initiative promotes the pairing of whole foods to bring taste, balance, and nutrition to the center of the plate.
This partnership was developed to reach consumers that we might not typically talk to and might not be thinking about pork. So we're leveraging a large network of powerful health and nutrition communicators that are promoting the positive nutritional profile of pork. So the goal of efforts like this and others to come is to begin to change consumer perceptions of pork and hopefully add pork to their decision set as they are making their weekly shopping list and shopping in store.
With your Ag News, I'm Farm and Ranch Director Sarah Heinrich.
Cloudy skies today, occasional showers off and on in the forecast. Our high at 51 and a northeast wind at about 10 to 20. Low tonight near 40, mostly cloudy, scattered showers still possible. And tomorrow, a chance of a shower with a high near 54. Slightly warmer on Thursday with highs near 62. From the Storm Center at Kettleland TV, I'm Brian Karstens.
When the Sioux Empire needs to know, Calo is here 24 hours a day. Calo, News Talk 1320, 107.9, and calo.com.
Doug Somke is president of the South Dakota Farmers Union. I'm Bill Zortman, your host, and you can visit the SDFU website at sdfu.org, which has information about hearing this monthly podcast at your convenience, or allow you to share with a friend or the family just how to listen. Temperatures dropping, frost out there. And you've got this guy from Game Fish and Park this morning with us, Doug, Tom Kirschenman. What do you think?
You know, I like the work that they're doing at the Game Fish and Parks Commission. That I think the latest news about the pheasant hunting is definitely intriguing. I think people are going to like the new hours, and I'm looking forward to Tom's discussion.
All right, Tom, how did you pull this off, or did you do it alone?
Well, good morning, everybody. No, you know, this was a conversation piece that happened over a couple of month time frame, and the commission last week made two changes to the South Dakota pheasant hunting season. The first one that was just referenced was the start time. For years, the first week of the pheasant season began at noon, and then the remainder of the season would start at 10 a.m. Central Time. Just looked at it again from the standpoint of opportunity. Earlier in the year, it was brought forward to the commission to just start the regular season or the opening weekend and for the remainder of the season at 10 a.m. So that occurred. And then the other big part that was a much bigger discussion was the extension of the pheasant hunting season through the month of January. A lot of comments were brought forward by the public. There were folks certainly in support of it. There were folks that were opposed to it. commission received a lot of feedback, had a good conversation about it. At the end of the day, it was really looked upon as an opportunity to provide more of that pheasant hunting opportunity for sportsmen and women of South Dakota and those that do decide to come here and visit. And so it was really about hunting opportunity, extending those chances for people to get out and enjoy the great things that South Dakota has to offer and looking at the pheasant hunting tradition here in our state.
Are you thinking that you'll have a lot of hunters in this year, regardless of what's happened with COVID and everything else?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of different indicators that are taking shape out there right now, especially when you think of what's happening across the country. If the pheasant hunting and all the other hunting seasons this fall follow suit to what fishing and camping and other outdoor activities did this summer in South Dakota, we should have a lot of people, both residents, non-residents, taking advantage of the great resources that we have here in this state. What we have heard specifically about pheasant hunting itself, in particular visiting with some of the commercial industries, some of the private shooting preserves or other commercial pheasant hunting operations, what they have shared with us in a broader context is in some instances they are seeing their reservations or bookings being down just a little bit, and it'll vary from location to location. And a lot of what they attributed that to were folks that would come under a corporate type setting where a company might bring out some clients or some of their workers. That is what they're seeing and hearing, primarily seeing some cancellations or not booking. But when you look at it from the standpoint of hunters, everyday hunters, guys that come in groups together typically, or some families and stuff, those seem to be still going very strong. So I think at the end of the day, what we're going to see is a strong participation in pheasant hunting this year, both from residents and non-residents alike.
Tom Kirschenman with us, Game Fish and Parks. I see one of the things that you're trying to do, whether it's turkeys or ducks, is get more people involved.
Yeah, the bottom line is we're trying to keep that hunting heritage strong and alive and moving forward in South Dakota. And unfortunately, it's a trend that we're seeing across the country. Whether you're talking about pheasant hunting or duck hunting or some of these other outdoor recreational activities, the overall trend that we see is a continual decline. Now, to a certain degree, we've been buffered and sheltered a little bit in South Dakota just because of who we are and the makeup of our people and our state. There's a lot of people in our state that enjoy the outdoors, active participants in hunting, fishing, trapping, all those things. But even in our young kids here today, you know, there's so many things going on and so many different activities, and people's lives get extremely busy. We're just doing our best and trying to keep that heritage alive. And fortunately in South Dakota, we do have that strong heritage. We have the resources available. We have the cooperating landowners out there. We have public opportunities. So we have the right recipes and the right mixtures to make this thing all work very well. It's just continuing to stress the importance of getting outside, and fortunately that stronghold is still strong in South Dakota.
Doug, last question for Tom, please.
Yeah, Tom, in our community here, we've lost our Feather and Fin Club. It just, you know, just went away. I mean, I guess the ones that were running, of course, were just getting older. Do you ever see that opportunity coming back again where we maybe can get clubs like that restarted and be in a bigger part of the community?
You know, I think there are some of those opportunities. You know, I think it's similar to many other organizations and clubs and things that go on out there, is that it's just harder and harder to get the younger people involved. And getting folks that are in their 20s and 30s, right, to become engaged in, whether it's a sportsman's club or some other type of organization like that. And I think a lot of it is just because lives are so much busier, more activities and those things. But I think what we need to do collectively here in South Dakota is keep emphasizing the importance of that and what that means to our state and our local communities, to our young people and our kids coming up, why those are important, what those can do in terms of a positive influence on people's lives. And I think if we can continue down that path and work together on that, we can get more people engaged and keep some of those clubs and organizations going out there.
Tom, do you have a website people can visit?
Certainly. You know, you can always go to the Game, Fish, and Parks website. We've got all of our hunting, fishing, trapping, camping, all that stuff, all that information on our GF&P website. It's a busy time of the year with fall approaching, and with these cooler temperatures we're experiencing today in the next couple of days, a lot of people are going to be excited about getting out from a hunting perspective. And so, but if not, folks can always call to our local offices or a local conservation officer to ask questions. We're here to answer those questions and provide whatever information we can to the public.
Tom, thanks for the visit. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, appreciate you having us on today, and hope everybody's doing well out there with the cooler weather.
All right, thank you. We're going to change gears here. Doug, are you ready to talk SBA?
You know, I'm ready to hear what Jamie can tell us on how things are going. I mean, I know a lot of people applied, and I know there are some that maybe didn't get their application accepted, so I'm looking forward to hearing her news today.
All right, Jamie, you're in Rapid City. Is the news different out there with snow?
Well, you know, there was some snow on the launchers this morning. Good morning, everybody, but I don't think it's going to stick, so that's the good news.
All right, speak up a little bit. You're low on your signal, so don't be afraid to yell at it like it's Doug and Bill that need you to be chewing us out.
Can you hear me a little better now?
Oh, yeah, Norm is happy now. Everything is good.
Norm's happy. Well, as long as Norm's happy, we're good to go, so because he's the man with the power on the dial.
Yes, he is. As you were saying.
That's right. But we are out in Rapid City today doing some outreach out here for actually early part of this week, and we're handing out some National Small Business Awards to some South Dakota champions, so it's pretty cool to be out here. But yes, there was a little bit of snow overnight. There's a little bit of white on the hills and on the rooftops and on the launchers, but I don't think it's going to stay around. At least that's my positive thinking. So anyway, good to be back and hope you're all doing well. We are very excited about National Small Business Week coming up on the 22nd through the 24th. It's going to be celebrated across the nation, including here in South Dakota. Now, typically this happens in May, but this year it was postponed due to COVID-19. And we've been a little busy over the past few months trying to help businesses sustain and keep going, you know, keep the doors open and the lights on with Paycheck Protection Program, as you mentioned, and also the Emergency Injury Disaster Loan. So about 25% of the businesses in South Dakota did leverage. So that's about 22,600 businesses roughly that leveraged the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program. And that equated to about $1.7 billion of infusion in South Dakota. So it's a good chunk of change there to help the businesses. The majority of the payroll protection program was meant to be used for payroll. So at least 60% had to be used for payroll. The other 40% could be used for some specific operational expenses like mortgage interest or a lease or some of the utilities, including like telephone and electricity. So now we are in the forgiveness part of PPP. So that's where most folks have, most businesses now have gotten to the point where they've used their funds or they're at, you know, getting towards the end of using it. And now they have up to 24 weeks to use those funds as long as they coordinated through their lender that they wanted to use them in a 24-week period instead of 8. So now they're at their forgiveness piece, and what folks should be doing, if you got a PPP loan and you've exhausted your funds, it's time to go back to the lender and fill out a PPP easy forgiveness application, and actually is called easy, an easy form, and it's a couple pages, and you're going to have to fill that out. But also you're going to have to demonstrate that you used the PPP within the parameters, at least 60% for payroll. And you're going to have to show, you know, your payroll records, but also your receipts for your utilities and operational expenses. So then the lender has about 60 days to process that. Most of the lenders, though, they're getting going on these and they're uploading that information. And then SBA has about 90 days to determine the forgiveness piece. So that's the window that we're in. The EIDL, the Emergency Injury Disaster Loan, that is also still available for application. We're still processing those for South Dakota. And since we talked last, we have a new tally. So almost 7,500 EIDL loans have been launched in South Dakota, and that's about $449 million. So about 3.6 million of EIDL loans across the United States. So, Bill and Luke, I think we're getting there.
Well, Doug, do you have a final question?
No, I'm impressed with those numbers, Jamie, and congratulations on the work you're doing. Unfortunately, I wish we didn't have to do this type of stuff right now.
Yeah, Doug, you're exactly right. You know, I wish that we didn't have to do it either, but I'm sure glad that we've been able to, you know, work very closely with the SBA and the U.S. Department of Treasury and with our congressional leadership and then also all the way up to the White House to be able to get these sustainment products in place, these resources. They've really helped the businesses, and we've covered every industry you can imagine. So ag producers are right in there. With the unprecedented nature of these COVID response resources, we were able to open it up into the ag sector. And so many ranchers, farmers, and rural businesses were able to leverage these just the same as the urban areas. And so the success stories are rolling in. And when I say success, what I mean by that is they are, you know, we're getting these stories from these small businesses. And I've actually been out on some farms and visited ag producers as well that were able to leverage this. And they're telling us how this made all the difference to be able to have a bridge, if you will, to get them from, you know, a very desperate, you know, side to, you know, a more hopeful side and keep their business going. So we're pretty excited to be a part of that.
Let me mention in passing the 2020 Exporter of the Year, Advanced Sunflower, owned by Denny Dale out of Huron, South Dakota. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So my awesome deputy district director, Bryson Patterson, he actually was able to go out and visit Danny last week and got some pictures. So we have those out on our Twitter, and we're really excited to amplify Danny and the rest of the Small Business of the Year winners on a virtual event. So it's going to be open to, you know, to anybody who wants to register through Eventbrite on the 22nd of September at 10 o'clock Central Time. And so that's when we're going to get to showcase these businesses. They're going to tell a little bit about their story. And then the ecosystem partners who nominated them, like the Small Business Development Center or maybe a lender that has nominated them, will get on and talk about, you know, the success as well, too. But, yeah, Danny Dale is our Exporter of the Year. He's in the sunflower seed business. One of the businesses that they do some of the packaging for is actually Wild Dutchman, a very famous brand here in
there
South Dakota, one of my favorites. Yeah. And they're really, they've really been able to grow a lot with the help of the South Dakota International Trade Center and the SBA resources. So we're glad to showcase them.
Jamie, we appreciate you. We got to make room for the Rural Dakota Pride winner out of Winter. That's next.
As crazy as 2020 has been, thank goodness the golf season has been one of the best ever. Naturally, Austed's annual Labor Day sale will be one of the best ever, too. Literally everything at our East 10th Street location is on sale now. Apparel, clubs, shoes, balls, bags. Save up to 70% on the stuff you've wanted all summer long. This is Dave Austed inviting you to Austed's biggest sale of the year, September 2nd through the 8th, in-store and online at austeds.com. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
Stacey Dykstra's with me, Kane Ellsworth.
You've got a leadership academy that you're working on so that there will be leaders there when they're needed.
In small communities, it can be difficult to attract, retain, and then develop the future leaders. That is so critical and important that you get that next generation. And the academy has been designed just for that. It's a three-year program that's for community banks. It's for those high-potential team members, and it's all about helping them get ready to go. Give us a call. We'd love to tell you a little bit more about the academy. You can go to our website, which is KaneEllsworth.com.
The world is learning something farmers and ranchers have known for generations. Some jobs can only get done by working together. Like protecting the ethanol industry and fighting back against meatpacking monopolies. Today, the entire world is working together to beat the coronavirus. Every day, South Dakota Farmers Union members are working together to protect our rural lifestyle. Join today for tomorrow.
Mark Levin, weeknights 5 to 8. Kello, News Talk 1320, 107.9.
Rural Dakota Pride. Doug Tomke, do you want to introduce the winner?
I'm on mute here, Bill. Sorry about that. Yeah, no, Joyce, she is quite an active individual out there in winter. Joyce, I thought our own Jeremy Clay was a busy guy in winter, but she puts him to shame, everything she's done over the years. And just glad to be able to celebrate her activity and her belief in the community. And Joyce, congratulations, a well-deserved award.
Thank you.
Now, I understand in reading the story that Laura Rohde wrote about you is that you can't say no, and that's how you went from beauty school in Sioux Falls to being out there with now great-grandkids?
Right. Yes, I have a problem saying no. When somebody asks a favor, well, I'm always willing to help them out because we've got a super great community around here, and we want to keep it that way.
You know, we need to share that one of the things that you think that we need to do is teach them how to sew. Tell us what we need to be doing.
I've been a sewer for years through 4-H, and then a few years ago I joined the Quilt Guild and started making star quilts. And so now I've got a great-granddaughter that's 11, and so I'm helping her with 4-H projects. So simple things. Last year she did a little skirt, and this year she did a table runner and a pillowcase. So I want to keep the tradition in the family because nobody else seems to want to do any sewing.
Uh-oh. Doug, is she a gal that has way too much energy and needs to share it with a few of us?
Yes, yeah, she does. You know what? She's full of energy. She's a little bubble worm.
I think you can go right back to a few years, and we know where the energy is, right, Doug?
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, how surprised were you that you got the award?
I was very surprised. I just was humbled when she called to do the interview, and I just thought, why me? There's so many other good volunteers in this area that deserve it probably more than I do, but I was very, very honored and pleased.
You know, I would tell you this, that a lot of people say, oh, it's all Sioux Falls. No, it's not. It's communities like Winter that work the Elks Rodeo concession stand, that do other things out there. You've got to be an inspiration to all of us.
Well, thank you. I'm a leader in several organizations, too many, but I love them all, so I'm not going to quit any of them, and as long as I can help everybody out, I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing until I'm too old to do it.
So. Now, you're easy to find. I understand you got a pink golf cart.
Yes, I do, and I love it. The only thing is I can't sneak out to the golf course and golf around without anybody knowing it because they know as soon as they see the pink golf cart, uh-oh, Joyce is out golfing today. So, yeah, I love it. My favorite color is pink. I wear pink all the time. One guy asked me the other day if my whole house was decorated in pink, and I said, no, I use a few more colors, too, but I do love pink.
Doug, what do you think?
Well, I tell you what, I really want Joyce to make me that cheesy hot hash brown hot dish. That there sounds delicious to me. I love hash browns and I love cheese, and boy, it sounds really good, Joyce. You got to make that for me sometime.
I will have to do that because my family loves it, and the prom committee usually always, when I ask them what their menu is, it's usually, well, we don't care about the meat. It's just make sure you make the cheesy hash brown casserole.
You know, I feel like I know a lot about Winter. My golf partner this year is from Winter, Doug English. And Doug is saying everything very positive, and now I can say that I know somebody better than he does from out there.
Right.
And you work harder than Doug does. So,
well, thank you. I love to work. I'm not one to just sit. during the corona, people were getting so depressed. And I said, I wasn't. I'd go downstairs to my sewing room, maybe 7:30 in the morning and sew till 10:30 at night and just love it. So I've made more projects that I plan to give away for either raffles or just for gifts, just because I love sewing.
You know, my hope for you is that we'll have some others that will be as inspired as you are to help people.
Well, thank you.
Small communities are so important. I kind of know winter now, but
good.
From you, my goodness, being great-grandmother, all that you're doing is amazing.
Well, thank you. I put the vase in my beauty shop at the house, and my ladies just, everybody has given me hugs and said, oh, Joyce, you're so deserving of this. The vase was just absolutely gorgeous. I was expecting a little piece of paper or a little plaque or something, and here she comes with this beautiful crystal vase that it just overwhelmed me.
Joyce Heath, Rural Dakota Pride winner out of Winter, South Dakota. Congratulations.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm very, very honored to have this honor. It means so much to me.
You mean a lot to us, too. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll continue doing my volunteering as long as I'm still able.
And please be able a long time. Thank you.
I hope to. I hope to. My great-granddaughter wants me to live forever. So I said, that isn't possible, but hopefully. She said, well, hopefully, Grandma, you make it to at least 110.
That's a goal.
That's a goal for her anyway.
All right. Congratulations.
Okay. You bet, and thank you again so very, very much.
All right, Laura Edwards, you get to follow an award winner out there, great-grandma that's teaching everybody to sew and do everything in winter. All right, your job, section by section. I know we got snow and we got cold weather. What can you tell the farmers out there they need to know?
Well, you know, next couple days, I think no big surprise, it's going to be wet and cool. Our high temperatures today, tomorrow, will be below the average low temperatures for this time of year in Sioux Falls and around the region. Good news, I think that southeast corner of the state probably won't get down to freezing tonight, low around 40 overnight tonight and then tomorrow night. Up here in the north, you know, north central part of the state, I think we might see patchy frost. And north central might see more widespread frost tonight. So hopefully we can cover those gardens and save what we got, because it will warm up here later than the week. So it's just a 1 or 2 days. But, you know, for Sioux Falls area, several chances of rain as well in the next week. But after that, looks like maybe a drying trend in the middle of September.
Now,
so good news around the corner.
If you're going to use a four-letter word, I'm glad it's rain and not something else that starts with an S.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I saw Deadwood this morning, had about 10 inches of snow. I have some other friends in the hills that had 6 to 8 inches. So, yeah, it could be worse for sure.
Laura Edwards, South Dakota State climatologist. We appreciate all you do.
Great. Thank you.
All right, Doug, we're down to our last 30 seconds. What should people know?
Well, just know that, you know, it's coming to be fall. We're going to be into harvest real soon, and just be careful out there, everyone. You know, driving down the roads, watch for the equipment, and farmers, be careful on your day-to-day work.
Don't be afraid to put ethanol in either, right? 30.
Absolutely. That's a natural.
Okay. We appreciate you, Doug. We can tell you this, that I'm Bill Zortman. He's Doug Somke, president, South Dakota Farmers Union, for all 20,000 members. Our time is up. Thank you for yours.
Kello News Talk 1320 KELO Sioux Falls, FM 107.9 KELQ Flandreau Sioux Falls, and online at